Hey, New Life Church, so good to see you again this weekend. I just want to give a special shout out to all of you that are at home or away. Man, it just does my heart good each week when I hear from people that watch online and are still staying connected, even when they're away, even when they're staying safe. I just want you to know that together, our team and our people here at New Life Church, for those of you that are away, man, we are praying for you. We miss you dearly, and we pray that God will continue to be with you. Today, we're actually going to be finishing up our series called Reset. You know why? Because today is day 21 of our 21-day reset. And so for the last 21 days, many have chosen to have a plan for fasting. Many have committed to prayer the last 21 days. And I know that when we take a purposeful amount of time and devote it to God, man, you leave transformed and different. And I hope that you've got some vision for your life and you are ready to go in this new year. We are about ready to start this week. Our spring semester of life groups is not too late to sign up for groups. It's very simple. Even from home, you can text groups to the number on the screen, 765-347-9127. You will receive a link that will have all of the groups, and you can sign up on that link. So even if you've not returned to an in-person service, being a part of a smaller group, it might be right for you. So at least text the word groups to this number. Take a look at the groups that are available, and you can sign up for the groups that you might be interested in. And so let's review a little bit about our series, Reset. The journey we've been on this month in January. And week one, we talked about unplugging, because when you get frustrated with your computer, your electronic device, I have one move, right? And we've been talking about this. Unplug it and plug it back in. And it flushes out all of the temporary files crammed up and bogging down your RAM, and it functions better. And so we decided in January, we are going to take 21 days to reset our life from all of the stuff, all the cumulative things that builds up over the course of a year, and we're going to get free from it, and we're going to start fresh this year. So we said unplug from distractions. We talked about how when Jesus was fasting and unplugged in the wilderness for 40 days, that the devil came and tempted him, and Jesus unplugged. Jesus fasting was unmoved by temptations. And also that when you unplug and you get alone with the Father, he can begin to unravel the wreckage in your life, and those things that you've just have built up over time. And then the next week, in week two, we started talking about plugging back in. And we talked about four things to plug back in with. In the first week, first part of this, we talked about plugging in with Scripture and plugging in with prayer. Prayer and study is the hard work of gradual spiritual growth. So although the 21 days is finishing this weekend, do not give up on meeting together with God in prayer and in Scripture. Because when you practice this spiritual discipline, one day you look up and you're different. One day you look back and you've traveled further. It's gradual growth. And then in part two, we continued. We said plug in with praise and worship. So last week we talked about praise and worship, the difference between the two and how they go so well together. And then finally, plug in with people, not prayer. We talked about plugging in with community, that we are better together and that you need your own people and you need your one place. And so today we're going to finish up this series, and we're going to say in the reset, let's reset and create order. So we've unplugged, we've plugged back in, we took 21 days to say, God, we are resetting, and now that we have been reset, now let's put some things back into order, because order helps things move forward. Order is so important. And let me show you in Proverbs 23, verse 37. Here's what it says. It says, put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready, and after that, build your house. So this proverb is talking about do it the right way. Do things in order. Prioritize it so that when the building process comes, you can build efficiently. And so essentially, when you build a house, we all know the most important part of a house is its foundation. So before you ever build, You dig trenches. You pour footers. You build a foundation, because everything is built upon the foundation. The strength of the foundation determines the strength of whatever else is on top. And every house can look different. Every structure can take a different shape, but they all must have a strong foundation. And so order matters when you build a house. You start with the foundation. Order also matters in marriage, doesn't it? This is why I say commitment before intimate. When you make the commitment before God in a relationship, and then you be intimate. Order matters, because when we get the order wrong, people have created a lot of chaos in their life when order is not right. People have experienced a lot of hurt and pain. And so in marriage, it is commitment before being intimate. So order matters. Order really matters. When things are not left in order, they are then in, I know this is deep, disorder. Disorder. And disorder is chaos. Creating order can create clear direction. Clear direction. But disorder, well, when there's chaos, I mean, who knows where you end up? It's sometimes a tailspin all the time. Scripture actually helps give us an order. Scripture helps give us a foundation that we can build upon. And what you are building on this foundation is your life. Now, every structure, every house can look different, but they all must have a certain foundation. And when you don't have this foundation, this is why you see people get stuck in a cycle where they're constantly trying to rebuild their life, because it never stands. You have to start with first things first. Get the order right. And so in this order, I'm going to talk about three things: having God first faith, God first family, and God first finances. So let's talk about God first faith. This is to put God as the central part of your life, that before anything else, if we're going to start, we've reset, but if we're going to move forward, we need to make sure we have the correct order. And the first thing is to have God first faith. Look what it says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Do you know what this is? This is the first of the Ten Commandments. So first things first. If order matters, look at the first of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, actually, the Ten Commandments, to the Hebrews, this was actually something they called a 10-step ketubah. A ketubah is a marriage contract. So essentially, when Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with these tablets of stone and the Ten Commandments, essentially, it is a picture of God proposing to his people, saying, will you marry me? I want to be with you forever. But for this to be a proper and strong relationship, here's the first thing we must have in order, and that is there will be nobody else but me and you. Isn't that good? That's so good. That God is saying, it has to be me. And think about it in your marriage. If you're married, it has to be first you and your spouse. And nothing, nobody else and nothing else needs to come in between you and your spouse. That a marriage is to say, baby, it's you and me always. Not just when it's good, but also when it's bad. It's you and me always. And so God is saying to us that you shall have no other gods before me. This is to have God first faith. And if that is the foundation, imagine what you can build upon it. Look at Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first. If you're at home watching with someone on the couch, just give them a little elbow and say, first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And watch this. And all these things will be given to you as well. So get the foundation right. Everything else can be built upon a strong foundation. It can take many forms, but you got to get that right. You got to have a God first faith. You've got to get that right. And you know what the context of this verse is? When he says all these things will be given to you as well, the context of this verse is worry. He's speaking of worry, people worrying about their life, worrying about what they will wear, worrying about where they will go, worrying about how they will provide. The context of this verse is worry, because watch the next verse. We see our first verse, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So the context is worry, but you don't have to worry if the first thing you seek is God. If you are seeking relationship, if you're seeking notoriety, if you're seeking financial stability before you seek God, I would be worried too. But if you seek God, his kingdom, and his righteousness, well, that's the foundation, and everything else can build upon it. So why worry if God is whom you seek first? So I would say this, whatever leads influences what comes later. What comes first determines determines the order. Whatever leads influences what comes later. So if you lead with selfishness, if you lead with other pursuits, then worry. But if you lead with God first faith, everything else that comes later is influenced by the first choice you made to make God first. So I would tell you that when you have God first faith, everything else in life just gets easier. Even when it's hard, you have a firm foundation. Even when it seems like you're losing, you still have a firm foundation. Even when people lie on you, leave you, disappoint you, you still have a strong foundation because that's who God is. So the first thing is a God-first faith. The second thing is God-first family. God-first family. And we hear it all the time. If you have a family, you're part of a family, maybe you got young kids, maybe you got old kids, whatever it is, we hear families say it all the time, family first. And you know what? I agree. Family first. Because I think that family first is actually God first. Family first actually is God first. Because when God is the foundation, families are stronger. When God's the foundation, families are stronger. So if you want to make your family stronger, check the foundation. Is God the center? Is God the foundation of your family? Now we're in Ephesians chapter 5. We actually get some instruction for the Christian household. And I encourage you to go and read this. We're going to highlight a couple of the verses here, and we're going to touch on each member of the family today. But first it starts off by this. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So God first, Christ. And then out of that, or from the foundation of God first faith, submit to one another. So right off the bat, as Paul is writing here and he's talking about the Christian household, right off the bat he's saying, because of God being first in the life of the believer, because of that, submit to one another. Now watch what it says next in verse 22. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Now, if you struggle with this verse, maybe try doing this first. Get the order right, because what comes first affects what comes later, because what leads influences later. So first, work on, are you submitted to Christ? Are you first submitted to the Lord? Because it's a lot easier to be in relationship when relationship with God is strong first. So family first is God first. If family is first, in other words, what you're saying is family matters most. And if family matters most, then this has to matter most. Now, husbands, let me talk to you for a second. Look at this. It says, husbands, love your wives. Now, your job, if you're the kind of husband that may have said at one point or time to your spouse, hey, Bible says you are to submit to me. I just beg you to never do that again, because your job is much harder, because it says love your wives just as Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her. So yours is also a life of submission. Yours is also a life of sacrifice for your wife. And if family's first, in other words, family matters, family first is God first. Because the only way, husband, that you can know what it means to love your wife in this way, the only way you can ever begin to even guess at how to do this is when you have personally experienced it with God first. So when you have God first faith and you have experienced what it means for Jesus, for Christ to have so loved you that he gave himself up for you, then and only then can you know what it means to then lay down your life for your wife. So God first is family first. For the example for wives, for the example for husbands. And now for all of our kids out there, if you think I forgot about you, I didn't, and neither did Paul, because he continues to write in chapter 6, verse 1, right after this. He says, children, obey your parents. Now listen, parents, if you're at home, you're watching this, I give you permission to go get your children right now. Bring them back into the room, okay? I'll let them know this myself. But children, obey your parents. Oh, here it is, in the Lord. So children, even for you, the root reason why you obey and honor your father and mother is because you first obey the Lord. So family first is God first. God first, foundation. Everything else builds upon it. For this is right. So listen, kids, it is right for you to obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. Do you know where this comes from? Honor your father and mother is another of the Ten Commandments. It's another one of the Ten Commandments. But look at this, which is the first commandment with a promise. So this commandment in the Ten Commandments is the first one that comes with a promise. A little bonus content for you. And here's what the promise is. So that it may go well with you. So take out the trash so it may go well with you. Make your bed so it may go well with you, and that you may live and enjoy long life on earth. Because listen, kids, if you don't obey your parents, you may not live very long, right? But this is the only one that comes with a promise. But it is, again, it is rooted right here in the Lord. Those are the key words right there. So if you want to create order, if you want to reset and create order in your life, God first, faith, foundation, and then begin to have a God-first family. So here's what I say. If you want to grow closer to your family, and everybody does, everybody desires to have a closer family, grow closer to your family by growing closer to God. Come on, can I just encourage you that this year, this is the year for your family to be closer than ever. This is the year, married people, that your marriage can be stronger than ever, more connected than ever. This is the year, kids, that you can really feel like you can enjoy your life with your parents when they are feel like they are always telling you what to do. And you know how you can make that turn? You know how you can make that reset? Is by growing closer to God. You can grow closer as a family. So God first faith, God first family. And the next one is to have God first finances. Finances are a cause of so much stress in people's lives because we lack the discipline to have margin in our finances, or sometimes we lack the discipline to use our finances as unto the Lord, because we want to build this foundation, but everything else must build off of the foundation of this love and this foundation of God first faith. So to have faith with your finances sometimes means a little bit of uncertainty, or sometimes it means challenge. But just like when our faith is challenged, we rise up in faith. But when our finances are challenged, can we rise up in the same faith and still be committed to God in our finances? So if what comes, what leads influences what comes later, and we talk about what leads influences the later with our faith. We talked about what leads influences the later in our family. What about, what if what leads influences what comes later in our finances? Well, Malachi chapter 3, he says, I, the Lord, do not change. I want to emphasize this. God is saying he does not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Even since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. But return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, well, how are we to return? How are we to reset? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, you whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. God is saying, test me. Test me in this principle, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I don't know about you, but I want that right there. I want the floodgates of heaven to pour open, and I want to run out of room with everything, with the blessing of God. Don't you? I want to run out of room. But you know what influences the floodgates of heaven opening up over your life? What comes later is influenced by what leads. And what leads is the tithe in our finances. So what is tithe? Tithe is just a phrase that means 10%. And now there's a biblical principle that runs through the Old and the New Testament about the tithe, of giving the first fruits or the first 10% of our income and returning it to God. Because here's what I believe. When I look at the Bible, this is my conclusion. Everything belongs to God. Everything of mine is God's. He asked me to return to him 10%. And what I have known, because he says, test me in this, and I've tested him. And here's what I found, that God can do more with my 10% than I could. And so it is a faith and it's a trust in it, and it's obedience. And remember, honor your father and mother, we said was the first commandment with a promise that led to joy and long life. Well, there's a promise here too, that God is saying you can even test me in this. So it means 10th or 10%. The number 10 also represents represents testing. In the Bible, there were 10 plagues in Egypt that tested Pharaoh's heart. There are 10 commandments. In Numbers 14, God tests the Israelites in the wilderness 10 times. Jacob's wages were changed 10 times. Daniel was tested for 10 days. In Matthew 25, there were 10 virgins that were tested. And the 10 days of testing and revelation. But here's the cool part. It's a two-way test. It's a two-way test. It's a test for us. Will we be faithful in returning to God what's God's? And we can test God. And he says, test me and see that I will not bless your life. So it's a two-way test. Matthew 6:21, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then a couple verses later in 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. But we've already determined that we are going to have God first faith. That's the foundation. God first faith. And so we will not serve money. We serve God. And so your heart will follow your money. Because if, I'm sure you know this to be true too, that money makes a great servant, but a horrible master. Our first giving displays our first priority. Because remember, what leads influences what comes later. So our first giving displays our first priority. Tithing is a two-way test. We can test God in this. And God knows our heart, but it's funny how God finds out. So pass the test. How we prioritize our money is important, because here's the question. Is God first in your faith? I think we all will say a resounding yes. Is God first in family? I think we all say with a resounding yes. Is God first in your finances? And we squirm a little bit. God is a giver, for God so loved that he gave. And the enemy is a taker. To Jesus and his teaching, greed was the number one sin to him. Think about it. The woman caught in the act of adultery, forgiven. Go and sin no more. But a rich man overlooked a poor man, judged. A rich man who tears down his barns to build bigger ones for himself, judged. There's a concept that Jesus teaches, there's a concept in the Bible of righteousness being directly connected to generosity. The Hebrew word for righteousness is tzedakah. The word for generosity is tzedakah. They're the same word. Righteousness is generosity. And so here's what I would tell you about God first in our finances, is that you cannot be righteous and greedy at the same time. You can't. Righteousness is to be generous. So again, we're talking about the reset and creating now order for our life. God first faith, God first family, God first finances. And so I would say reset the order of your life. Live with this God first faith. Choose to be a God first family and put God first in your finances. Come on, let's start off 2021 fully reset, fully repaired, revived, refreshed, and now create an order in our life. I'm not making this up. This is an order that we get from the scripture and even test it. And we can live God first in every area of our life, because it all built upon the foundation. Let me pray for you. God, I bless those watching today. God, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would pour open the heavens upon them. God, as we walk in obedience to you, and God, I thank you for every member of this church, their faithfulness. And now, God, may we grow, yes, in our relationship with you, so that we can grow strong in family and live to be righteous and generous. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vale Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.